Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans with your New Year's Eve edition. New Year's Eve Eve?
No, it's UFC Eve edition.
New UFC.
UFC. It is a new UFC.
It is a new UFC. Lots of interesting stuff happening on the new UFC Eve is what we'll call it from now on. UFC
it's,
2.
It's UFC Eve.
Whatever.
Stop trying to. You made a mistake. Don't just drive it right into the ground and try to stick with it for so long.
UFC 207. You've got Amanda Nunes, Ronda Rousey. Both of them exempt from doing any sort of media, which has made this a very interesting week, as Cody Garbrandt is certainly not capable of holding his own with Dominic Cruz. So those two trying to pull people into the pay-per-view, an interesting marketing ploy.
For what are you talking about? For Cruz?
Well, I mean, the fact
Garbrandt
that like every time you put them on
then
TV,
who got pulled out? Verdum pulled out?
Verdum got in. Kane got injured.
Kane got injured, right?
And then Kane was on medical marijuana. So then Kane got pulled.
Oh, okay.
Verdum wanted to fight Stipe.
Like how many marijuanas was he on?
And then wanted $500,000 and pay-per-view points to fight anyone. And Dana said, yeah, no, thank you. So that leaves
Wait,
us,
who wanted $500,000?
That was what Verdum wanted to be on the to stay on the card.
Huh. I mean, former champ, is that crazy? Is that crazy when you're on a card where like there's nobody doing press at the top of the card? Is it that nuts? I'm being serious.
I think it's interesting, Ken, because I wonder what this will look like when it's all said and done, because when I'm sure their thinking is if you just print the words Ronda and Rousey next to each other, people will come in droves and get this pay-per-view.
I think they're right. There's a very pent-up interest level. The weird thing is you've got a weird day. Again, we called it UFC Eve because the show is tomorrow as of the taping of the podcast today. So we've got a Friday night UFC. There's a lot going on with the holidays. I don't know about you, but this weird Christmas and New Year's Day falling on Sunday, it's been weird as hell as far as any scheduling. You don't know who's working where.
Right.
Nobody's got their normal schedule. You brought the little children in actually for the podcast today.
Yes,
are they going to be on the segment?
That's
what I mean. Everybody's got such insane schedules going on right now. It's going to be really weird to see if people are actually calmed down enough on a Friday night to kind of go, oh, yeah, that's right. Ronda Rousey's back. I want to see what happens, because that's really what they're trying to sell this whole card on, is the fact that Ronda Rousey's back.
And she is back, although, as we said at the top of the show, not doing any media, which has taken Amanda Nunes out of doing any media. Now, if you listen to Joe Rogan's Fight Companion, when he and Brendan Schaub and Eddie Bravo were going back and forth about this, Rogan's got some interesting takes on it that I don't necessarily disagree with in part, but in whole, I think is some flawed logic. So I'm okay if we want to decide universally that we are not going to interrupt the fighter's training for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do countdown shows. We're not going to do all that stuff because that's a distraction to the fighters. We want them to focus on fighting.
Okay.
I'm okay if that's what you want to do. However, it is fight week. My assumption is your preparation for the fight, like physical preparation, should pretty much be over.
Yes.
And this gets really interesting because let's not forget the new owners of the UFC are the agent of record, so to speak, for Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So,
well, that's not quite true because they've got a subsidized company, essentially, right? It's a subsidy that owns the UFC.
Sure.
I just want the technicality to be out there.
The technicality
is out there. Will come your way.
However,
they're not actually your managers. They're a division of WME.
This sort of sends this mixed message, because if we rewind the clock to July, Conor McGregor gets thrown off UFC 200 because he said that the media stuff was too much and he didn't want to do it because it was a distraction to the fighting. And so Dana said, screw you. We're throwing you off the card, because if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, you're doing media. That's just what we do. And here we are, 7 pay-per-views later, where we're like, yeah, unless your name's Rhonda and you hid for 18 months and you cry a lot, then, you know, you don't have to do any of that stuff because we really don't want to shake your fragile eggshell mind, because it's really important to us that you don't look redonkulous on Friday night against Amanda Nunes.
So what do you think in this situation? Do you think this is a situation where they're going to do this a lot, or this is just like Dana White said? He said, hey, Rhonda's done a lot for us. Rhonda has made sure that we are covered when we need to be covered. Rhonda was for a while, remember, she was fighting 2 months at a time. Like every 2 months she was on a fight card, and with that, all the media and everything that went along with that. You don't agree with Dana White saying that this is a one and done situation? You think something else is going to happen here?
I don't believe it's a one and done situation, because I think that this is just how she would love to operate. On the one hand, and I posted it last night, I was a little salty last night, so I apologize.
You're way salty this week.
I posted the Johnny Hendricks interview, and he addresses some of the stuff where sorry, the
you can
kids
take a break
going,
if you want.
Yeah, no, they're good. He addressed the stuff where they do media interviews and people ask the same questions over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So what Hendricks did is he held his own press conference and said, if you want to get me on your show, I'm going to answer all of your how is your day questions, how is the weight cut going, how do you feel about your fight, all that stuff, all at one fell swoop. So I understand why they don't want to do it, but I just think it's interesting that the top of your card is doing nothing to help sell the card. And I don't necessarily disagree with you, Ken, that you write Ronda and Rousey next to each other and there's interest. But if we go back to casual Buffalo Wild Wings fan, does he even know that this is happening?
Well, that's the bigger issue here is, and I don't know how much publicity Ronda Rousey going out there and doing would help the fact that this is on a wonky night. This could be a very interesting situation. I just think in regards to Ronda and doing this, and I told you this months ago when we were talking about this on the show. We talked about Brock Lesnar ending up on the biggest card in UFC history at that point. Why should Brock be allowed to do this? I said, it's Brock rules. If you're big enough and you can draw the money, you're going to have your own rules. They said probably the only other person who could do that would be Ronda Rousey. And this is a situation where Ronda's decided, and again, we don't know her mental state, and I know she's mad at the media, and I've called her out for that before. Nobody turned on her, quote unquote.
No.
We just started evaluating the situation as we saw it for the most part. Of course, there's always a-holes on the internet saying a-hole things, and there's dudes that go over the top both ways. She could take it just fine when she was winning every fight. She couldn't take it when she lost a fight singular. So it's interesting there. But again, I don't necessarily blame her for going through all this. The one thing I'm a little disappointed about, because I'm one of those people that pays attention to MMA and ostensibly I try to pay more attention just to make sure I'm up and informed for the show. There's way too much going on sometimes. We joked about how many times, and Conor McGregor, I think, had a great point. How many times did Conor McGregor have to do this big panel thing 2 months before, which would be in the heart of somebody's camp? And then 4 weeks later, fly back out to Vegas and do something else, and then do a car wash of morning shows. I don't necessarily mind that Ronda didn't do some of those things. I think you could pick and choose, though, with Ronda and get a lot of bang for a little bit of investment. Ronda Rousey can be on SportsCenter. Ronda Rousey can probably be on the Today Show, Good Morning America, the big ones. And like you said, this week at this point, she's probably done. Do I need her doing jumping jacks in an open workout? No.
Do I need her
doing 7 pressers and stare downs and all of that stuff? No. But that's where I think the UFC could really look at itself and kind of go, okay, do we need a media presser and then a weigh-in presser and then a back and forth presser? I mean, they do basically 3 or 4 things, and I get they're trying to hype the fight up.
But they've gone so far, Ken, is like they don't want, I mean, they can't, it's illegal. They won't be able to get that. But her management has gone so far as to try and do weigh-in blackouts today.
Well, they're not doing the actual weigh-ins, for those of you not following along. I mean, a lot of people, it's a surprise, they don't know this. For a couple months now, they're allowed an 8-hour window, something like that, to weigh in, because they think it's helping the fighters out. They can be healthier. They can actually weigh in as early, usually as 9 or 10 a.m. Depending on where they are. And what that weigh-in window does, it allows them to really rehydrate and get back into shape for the cage later the next day. So most fighters are taking advantage of that. Most every fighter you've seen that's actually at a healthy weight, or I'm sorry, I should say at weight with a good cut, they come in, they weigh in as quick as they can in the morning.
But I believe you have to now. Like, you can't show up at the TV thing.
No. But I'm saying you've got an 8-hour window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Most of those fighters are in there early.
Uh-huh.
In there early. And what happens is there's that weigh-in, and then later now you do the weigh-in that we see on TV. Joe Rogan asks a couple questions, things like that. I don't even care if she skips that. The one thing I do wish they would have, and the one thing I'm a little disappointed about even after the fights, is I do like the panel pressers. Everybody's got to be there the same amount of time. You get a little bit of interaction between some of the fighters. It's an hour at most. Boom, do that. You're done this week.
She's not doing that either?
No, she's not doing the panel. She's not doing the panel presser. And after the fights, they don't do the panel pressers any longer. So it'll be interesting to see if she does her own. And again, I used to watch those religiously. You thought I was insane because I'd stay up and watch those pressers after a UFC at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't stay up anymore because, I mean, they I get it. They bring every fighter out because you don't necessarily need your undercard dude out there for an hour when he gets asked one question. But you know what it does for that guy? He gets some interaction with the rest of the fighters. He's on stage for the time. Maybe somebody else asks him something.
Well, and
I don't think that hurts. Do you like the single-person presser they're doing after they bring somebody to one table?
Not really, but excuse me.
If you're a fan of that fighter, you can sit down and watch that segment and be good.
And
but
if we go back to UFC 206, right, where you've got a guy that a lot of people don't know in Funky Lando knocking out McDessey with that crazy head kick that got huge play on Christmas Eve when they reran those four fights from UFC 206, right? That guy doing a single presser probably helps him because all the focus is on him, had a huge night.
I really think a lot of people, I'm not watching him. I'm not watching.
I'm not spending the time.
That's what I mean. Well, I don't know when he's coming out either. It's not like they put him in order. The fighters aren't in any order either. So I don't know, if I just sit through this guy, I'll know who just put him up there. It's an hour. I mean, these guys are in the UFC. A guy like that probably loved to be on the stage. I mean, that's the funniest thing sometimes. You see the guys on the dais on each side, and you see whoever they're lined up against, and like the guy next to him goes crazy, and they're just loving it.
Right.
You know, the best seat in the house at those pressers for the fighters up and coming was to be on the Conor McGregor side of the table and be like, let's see what happens.
Woodley's Instagram and Snapchat of that weekend was my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, and that's one of the things they stopped after the fights, and you know, emotions are high, so I understand some of that. I don't mind at all, honestly. I know you're really worked up about it, and I've called Ronda out for some of her antics over the past 18 months or so, but I don't mind at all that she says, okay, media blackout. I do feel like you could have found a couple of instances there to really make things happen. I thought the Conan thing was very weird. I love Conan. I thought that was very weird that that's going to be your outlet, and then boom, we're done. Like, I feel like you could have found some other ways to kind of show yourself.
Like, I understand why you wouldn't want to do it. I understand that there's probably four guys in MMA or five guys in MMA journalism that you trust to ask the right questions, and the rest of them, when you go through the car wash, is kind of annoying, but it's part of the game. I understand you not wanting to do that stuff, but yeah, to make Conan your outlet, who isn't on what I would call necessarily an easy place to find, it's not NBC,
no,
ABC.
It's like TBS, 11 o'clock. He does his, I love his show, I love his gig, but it was kind of a weird thing. I saw her there, I'm like, okay, so she's going to be doing some rounds, and that was essentially it.
But yeah, no Today Show, no GMA, no Jimmy Kimmel, none of that stuff.
And I don't think she needs to do all of that.
No.
I think a couple of morning show appearances this week wouldn't have hurt. And here's the other thing. Some people talk about schedules and things like that. They can pre-tape a lot of that stuff. A lot of times you see these things happen, they've happened the night before. A lot of these Hollywood stars, they don't get their ass up at 5 in the morning to do one of these hits. They do them later in the day. So I feel like there's a couple of instances here where we could have had Ronda show up and it be more fair to the fighters. And I think, here's the thing. If you feel like you're getting screwed over at work, if you feel like something's happening and you're just getting pushed and pushed and pushed and you're able to push back, you push back. And I feel like that's what she's done. Because you and I think, would agree that some of the media stuff that the UFC runs these guys through can be insane, especially during the weeks leading up to the fight when ostensibly you're supposed to be in your camp and you're going to be wrapping things up in a couple of weeks. I think we can agree some of these requirements, quote unquote, I mean, a lot of people were taking Conor's side even though he got kicked off that car.
And I'm one of those people. I agree. Like, when we're in the middle of camp, I don't think he should have to fly across the world to do an hour long. He could do it via Skype if he's got to do it. Here's why I'm so salty this week and why this stuff is driving me insane. her camp or somebody around her is making them re-edit the embeddeds.
Oh, they've taken down
all of them. In fact, in the countdown, they had the head kick from Holly Holm, and someone surrounding her made them take that out of the countdown.
Because now it didn't happen,
right? Like, that's the part where you're like, okay, you've gone beyond being disgruntled at work and wanting better working conditions to be somebody who is
How much of this, though? I mean, do you think Rhonda's really involved in that? The way we've been judging her mental focus and I guess how she's handling the loss for the past 18 months. She's left that window open for us to do
that.
So do you think this has to do with her? Or do you think this has to do with her team maybe overreacting? Because a lot of times you'll hear this about celebrities and they realize something happened. Like, no, I didn't ask for that. Like somebody in her insane management team goes, get the head kick out of there. And at this point, Dana and the UFC and WME, IMG, who are trying to get their $4 billion back, are saying, fine, whatever Rhonda needs. Because Rhonda was the cash cow for a long, long time. You know,
but she isn't right now.
She may not be right now. They don't know that yet.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, without any, obviously, empirical evidence leading into UFC 207, she isn't Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, with his three events in 16, pulled 80% of the money they made this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she isn't that, because she hasn't done that
for them in 18 months. No, I'm not saying she's that, but she still could be their number two, and we might find out Friday night that, oh, yeah, this is still Ronda Rousey's world, and we're just living in it if we're not Conor McGregor. So it could be a very interesting situation coming up on Friday night. And as far as the press this week, I don't have a huge problem with it. She's got a weigh-in, though. So if we watch the weigh-ins, which are probably happening
right now,
yeah, as of the taping of this podcast, so she can't necessarily duck out of there. What do you think about her? She's clearly managing the situation, though. She posts this picture online where she was 5 months out from the 5 weeks out from the Zingano fight.
Yep.
And then 5 weeks out from the fight this time. And she looks like she's in much better shape. Can you train, though, to get punched in the face? Because that's what really did her in against Holly Holm.
And I think you very astutely put it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry the kids are going crazy in the background. But
they don't like my picks.
Right.
They're reading them right now.
You astutely put it in the Betch Kohea fight. In that 15 seconds, Betch caught her and showed you the blueprint to beat Ronda Rousey. And that is get in her face and jump on her like a Wolverine. And Amanda Nunes, if Ronda Rousey, if you believe, friends, in ring rust.
Yeah.
Like if this is the time of year that you believe in magical ring rust, if she leaves...
You don't believe in ring rust? Especially after what we saw with Jon Jones and OSP?
No, I told, but there are a lot of people...
You just called it magical.
There are a lot of people that feel it's not a thing.
Look, your kids are in here, so I'm not going to mention it, but you acted like it lives in the North Pole. See, now they're upset because you started talking about the ring rust and whether or not that was actually a thing. So right now, Eric's talking his son down about the ring rust.
Well, so what I was saying is, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't believe in that or somebody who does believe in that, if you give Amanda Nunes 60 seconds in that first round, this is going to be done, son. She is going to pounce on Ronda Rousey and absolutely maul her.
Yeah.
In the same way that Holly Holm mauled her.
I said that to a friend of mine, a very casual observer. He's very excited about Ronda Rousey being back. I go, yeah, she's going to get murdered. What? I'm like, no, you haven't been watching. You haven't been paying attention. And there's a lot. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, this could be one of those things. It'll be like all the Clinton supporters that were crying the day after the election. Where nobody realized, like, Ronda, what? She lost. She got murdered. I don't know what's going on.
And that's probably the thing that they've got going for them heading into this pay-per-view is that I don't think most people are paying attention the way that we're paying attention. And they think you put Ronda.
Oh, Ronda's coming back. She's cut. She's had all this time to train.
Well, and it's been 18 months. They might have. I mean, let's be honest, guys. The actual casual fan might have forgotten about the Holly Holm fight.
Well, I mean, the casual fan at this point has forgotten about Holly Holm. So if you don't quite put those two and two together, which may be the case, like, oh, yeah, what Ronda left to do some movies, right? What happened?
She was in Entourage, and she was in, you know, Expendables, and what, like, oh, and she's finally back from doing all that movie stuff.
Hmm.
You know, but I think if there's ring rust and you leave an opening, I really don't like... I don't like her chances in this fight. I think Amanda Nunes is tuned up. Amanda Nunes has obviously been much busier. Amanda Nunes has torn through that entire division.
Well, let's talk about the thing, too, that usually in this situation we would say, hey, you know what? As far as Ronda versus Amanda, Ronda really knows how to handle the media week. Ronda really knows how to handle all the questions. I mean, seriously, yeah. if you really think about it, if you're her team, who's got the advantage in having to deal with so much media, headlining an event, and doing all the things that are usually part of a UFC main event pay-per-view slot? Ronda had all that experience. Ronda's the one who was handling it. What? Ronda's the one who's had to deal with car washes. Amanda hasn't. And by default, and you know what? I will say, this is one of the situations where UFC could have easily said, I mean, they're the bosses. They could have easily said, yeah, Ronda's gotten a pass. Amanda's, though, got to do everything. And Amanda's done more than Ronda, but she hasn't been required in a lot of these situations where normally that challenger, and I call her a challenger simply because usually in this situation, this would be the challenger that would be coming into a fight against a champion and not have that experience. And normally it's the challenger who would come in and say, okay, I'm not really, I got to deal with the pressure. I got to deal with the bright lights. I got to deal with all these things. Amanda Nunes hasn't had to deal with any of that because of Ronda's demands on the other side. So it's a very interesting prospect to kind of think of Amanda Nunes where the only thing she's thinking about is beating Ronda Rousey for her world champion, to retain her championship.
But the one thing I will say that's a disadvantage, though, is to Amanda's brand in the fact that she doesn't get the shine that would come from, in the same way that if you fight, if you're Nate Diaz and you fight Conor McGregor, all of a sudden you're up 7 pay grades because of the shine that you got from going through that entire thing with him.
Right.
She didn't get the benefit of that. I don't, you know, we don't need to spend the entire time talking about this. I just think, you know, when you compare Ronda to Conor, I just think, you know, if she's going to do this over and over and over
again. Well, I think we spent a lot of time talking about it simply because I think we're transitioning here into, does Ronda have a chance after all this time off, after the demands that she's made? Where is she mentally? I mean, Misha Tate saying she doesn't see any way that Ronda can win this fight because she doesn't feel that Ronda's a competitor anymore. And I don't blame her. She did a lot in her time in MMA. But Misha Tate said it. A competitor wants to get back in there the next day after they lose. And Ronda hasn't been back for almost 18 months now.
Well,
it's very interesting to look at that situation.
And we know that her camp is notorious, as you were just saying, with they might be the ones behind all these weird edits and pulling the embeds and all of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as if, for as great in shape as she looks, it's not as if they're bringing in people that are going to actually test her.
No.
Right? It's not like she trained with Holly Holm, who's now in a different division, because that would have been the first thing I would have done.
Do you think that, well, I think Holly still wants another fight like that. I feel like Holly's still one of those people that can still basically, I think she wants to move through the two divisions depending
Maybe.
On what fight is right.
But I would find somebody of her caliber and have brought them in, you know, to test me in a way to make sure that I'm ready for this.
Oh, she's only been out a year, by the way. I reset that. I feel like she's been out longer.
It's been 7 years. It's been far too long.
It feels a lot longer. I think I've been saying 18 months. It's just over a year.
It's all right.
It's still going to have a lot of ring rust, though, being out just over a year and not being in the cage.
And not being busy. And then the co-main event, Dominic Cruz, who hasn't lost in a decade, taking on Cody Garbrandt. And Dominic Cruz is clearly the champion when it comes to speaking, as every time he and Cody Garbrandt are in an interview, Cody ends up quitting and leaving, as he did last night.
I saw somebody on our Facebook page. It was pretty hilarious. They said, you're watching a textbook breakdown of another man's mental condition by his opponent. And that's essentially what's been happening as you watch this. Is Garbrandt just that wound up? I mean, Dominic Cruz, he's a guy who's had to hang in there, and he's talked a lot, and him and Uriah Faber. I feel like he settled things with Uriah Faber that night that Uriah decided to retire.
Yep.
And, you know, they did the little thing with the poster and everything, and Uriah thought that he was messing with him or something. And like it seems like, okay, cool. These guys have been competitors a long time. A lot of mutual respect. Do you think that like Dominic Cruz, somewhere in his brain, he had this section for Uriah Faber where all he did was talk crap about Uriah Faber. All he did was hate on Uriah Faber and Uriah Faber's gym. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to reset that. That's going to be the Corey Garbrandt section of my brain now. And he's just, I mean, I love watching it. I see no real motivation, though, for him to be as mad as he seems to be at Corey Garbrandt.
That's because it's Cody Garbrandt, but
what did I say?
Corey, but it's okay.
Corey?
This is the problem with this fight is like,
what did I say?
Corey.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
But you know, I think
he's in my head too.
I think Garbrandt is one of those guys that I don't know that the world is ready or excited to see him because they don't know who he is, and I think
Do you think trying to run into another room in the middle of a presser is the best way to do that, you think?
Well, no, I just think that...
What do you say? Get your girl out of my DMs or something? Like,
right,
hilarious.
Yeah. Right.
It's like he's got some Kanye beef level smack talk going on here.
Well, it's always interesting when you see two grown men and one of them just goes after you like he's a 14-year-old and it works, mm-hmm. right? Like, get your girl out of my DM.
Whatever that was. That
okay.
was hilarious.
Okay. Like, why are you so mad about that? Whatever.
Was his girl really in his DM? That's what I want to know now.
Who cares, right?
Like, I do.
Okay.
Just adds to the intrigue.
So,
clearly Cody does too.
My thoughts on this fight are exactly what happened on Facebook, right? You've seen this guy be torn apart mentally, and you and I both know that Dominic Cruz is not a dude that you can give a minute, a second, a millisecond of hesitation.
Yeah, no edge. You don't want to give him any
Zero
edge at all.
Edge.
Yeah, because at this point, I mean, I feel like he's still one of the most dominant. So,
and you know, we were talking about weight, and obviously, Lineker is fighting this weekend, and he makes weight 32% of the time. So I don't know if he's actually made weight as the recording of this as he takes on TJ Dillashaw. But if he does make weight, I like him in this fight. I think he's a guy that if he can figure out his weight issues at whatever weight he ends up landing at, because he goes up, still misses weight. Like, I don't know how much further he needs to go up to find a place where he can safely make weight. But if he finds that place, the dude hits like a jackhammer. And I think he's a guy that if he gets past Dillashaw, it'll be interesting to see what 2017 holds for him, specifically if he can get his weight under control.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know where he's going to land. I don't know how he'll pick in that fight. I'll have to wait.
And then in an interesting turn, I should say, you've got Dongyeon Kim taking on Tarek Saffiedine. That makes it to the main card. But in the prelims, you've got Johnny Hendricks and Neil Magny. And if you missed it last night, it's on Facebook. You can check it out. Johnny Hendricks had a very interesting interview, and we were talking about it a minute ago, that he gathered everybody up because he only wanted to answer the same question one time. I can totally appreciate that.
So he tried to do his own little scrum.
But Ariel Helwani was like, hey, man, you don't look like you can stand. You're swaying a little bit. You're doing some crazy stuff. Are you all right?
How's the cut going?
How's the cut going? And Johnny Hendricks kind of freaks out and asks them all to gather a little bit closer, and then tells Ariel Helwani he would like Ariel Helwani to do a 20-pound weight cut mm-hmm. to interview him the next time he's fighting mm-hmm. in an event.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can understand what these guys are going through. And again, in this week where Ronda is in a media blackout and Johnny Hendricks is like, you guys don't understand what we're going through. Bro, we don't have to understand what you're going through. You picked this profession. Nobody made you, you know, walk around at 290 pounds and drop to 170. That's your own personal choice. You having a steakhouse a mile from your house, your own personal choice.
Does he own his own steakhouse?
Well, it went bankrupt, but he did. You know, those are the choices that you make. And, you know, you talked about Uriah Faber, and we talk about Frankie Edgar, right? Like, if you just sit around at your actual weight, mm-hmm. your life is much better, right? If you're 186 pounds, you fight at 185, you probably have no issues.
Yeah.
It's when you walk around.
Uh-oh. Little UFC in the background here. I think that was an unintentional takedown.
That's okay.
You know, I'm taking a point away from your daughter.
If you fight at 170 and you walk around at 211, I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, well, and the other thing too is we've had a couple of instances where you have athletes say, oh, you can't understand unless you do this. Well, that's not going to be every single person who comments on what you do. That's not how the world works. So calm down. I don't really have a problem. I mean, he is going through a tough weight cut right now, so obviously it's
weight. Well, sure. But again, like,
is that Johnny Hendricks back there?
Yeah, my son is imitating Johnny Hendricks by crying.
Stop.
You know, like, I get that he's going through a tough weight cut, and I can feel for him going through the tough weight cut, but this is another guy like Kelvin Gastelum or Lineker that, like, just has never figured this stuff out.
Never gotten where they need to be, and then they're just lashing out at people.
And, you know, and they continue to have these tough weight cuts. Dude, either go up mm-hmm. or figure out how to diet year-round. Like, this, if you look, what I liked about Dominic Cruz is embedded. I think it's episode 2 or episode 3. He is at a sushi restaurant, and he's like, look, I've missed Thanksgiving and I've missed Christmas since I was in 7th grade, so this stuff doesn't bother me. And he just sits around at weight, so he's ready to go. And he said, you know, that when this is all over, you know, when he's 35, mm-hmm. then he'll eat chickens and hams and whatever. But until then, you know, he's gonna do the job, right? And I just, when you look at Johnny Hendricks, it's like these sorts of things to me answer why he's having such problems in the cage is because he can't get control of what he needs to get control of, which is his weight and his team around him and his ability to mentally be there.
So he's just basically in a situation where you want him to stop fighting or stop complaining.
Well, I mean, he's talked about retirement if he loses to Neil Magny, and that may be what happens on Saturday night. I think Neil Magny could certainly beat him. And if he retires, I guess, okay, more power to you. But he's a guy that, if we look back 4 years ago, I think we were all thinking he was going to be a dominant champion, and he was going to be a guy that we were going to be talking about in the pound-for-pound best, and he was a guy that we couldn't wait to see what was next for Johnny Hendricks. And here we are. He's yelling at Ariel Helwani to do a weight cut before he can ask him questions.
Okay, one more thing before we go.
Yeah, because the wheels are falling off with these two.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Let him play with the glass things over there.
Right.
And the razor blades. Yeah. Mike Goldberg sounds like it's going to be his last UFC. Who do you think is going to step in there?
I'm sure you really are fired up about the rumor.
What rumor do we have?
The Jim Rome rumor.
Jim Rome, yes. UFC?
Yes.
He loves those fighters on his show. Be interesting. I guess in that role, if Joe Rogan's next to him, he'd be fine. I don't think that'd be an issue.
I guess my question to you, because...
But that's a lot of travel. He does a lot of things.
This is what I was going to ask. Like, you being in this part of the industry, mm-hmm. knowing how busy he is with his national syndicated show,
yeah.
Like, does he have the time to do that, or is he just going to do pay-per-views?
Is he just on the Joe Rogan deal? Because remember, Joe Rogan's new deal at this point is that he is only doing U.S. events.
So, well, and I think and he's only doing like U.S. like between California and Vegas.
No, I think he does most of them. I mean, he'll do U.S. events. So maybe you've got a new team that does U.S. events. I don't know if it's going to be Jim Rome. I really would have liked to have seen Mauro Ranallo, but that's not going to happen because of his WWE duties. Good old JR. Maybe he's a possibility. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I know he's left field, but I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I don't think he's left field. I just
okay,
because he loves the sport. He'd be great.
I want one more thing here while we talk about this, because this is kind of funny because. We're talking about all the changes, and everybody's trying to figure out, well, what's Mike going to do? What's he want to do? He must want to do something else. Somebody on Twitter pointed out, did you see his most recent follows on Twitter from Mike Goldberg? So Mike Goldberg tweeted out, or I'm sorry, Mike Goldberg didn't tweet this out, but you know, you can go to somebody's Facebook page, or excuse me, Twitter page.
The last people that followed him.
Right, and MMA Jim, Jim Edwards, pointed out that the last four follows from Mike Goldberg went to Bellator MMA, Victor One FC, One Championship, and Rich Franklin. Which, if you're familiar with, probably Bellator and One Championship are pretty self-explanatory. Victor, One FC, and Rich Franklin are also involved very much in One Fighting Championship. So it looks like he wants to do gigs. So we have to figure out, was this the UFC schedule was too much? Are they pushing him out? What's going on here? Because it looks like he wants to continue within the UFC, within the fight game.
They did try this 3 years ago. Remember, they tried to get him out 3 years ago.
No, they didn't try. WWE tried to hire him away.
When the contract was up, right?
Yes, and he wanted to stay with UFC at that point because he could have made a lot more money at that point going to WWE if all of the rumors that we heard at that point were absolutely true. So it's an interesting situation. It sounded like the WWE ended up with Mauro Ranallo as kind of their backup plan. Yeah.
So if you could pick, who would you pick?
I would take Mauro Ranallo, but I don't think that's an option. I think we're just going to get that random John Anik, whoever has been in there, maybe whoever's in that part of the world. I don't know, for the U.S.
Well, I'm happy to break the news. It's actually me.
It's actually you?
It's not.
You and your kids.
Me and my kids. Because this show has been so awesome.
We'll send this tape in.
They're very excited to have them all on the show.
Right, yeah. So you just send the tape in. Like, they're whining less than Hendricks and Rousey.
they're whining less than Hendricks in an Ariel Helwani interview, so they're... There you go.
All right. We're going to wrap it for this week. UFC 207 tomorrow night. Weigh-ins, actually, if you're getting this early, start at noon today.
Gotcha.
The official weigh-ins start at noon today, and I imagine we'll see most of the fighters very early.
You'll see Johnny Hendricks at noon 01.
Noon 01. Why don't you guys do this? Why don't you guys cut the weight and have to drink all this terrible, terrible Pedialyte afterwards? That's what we're going to see at noon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll try to link that up on our Facebook page and Twitter.
He goes to that tiny snack table and then just starts screaming at people.
And just eating everything while he's just flying out of his mouth as he eats. So there you go. My screaming seems to have calmed the kids down. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, because they're terrified of
you. You don't scream enough, apparently, in your household.
I do not. Follow along on Twitter and Facebook by searching at Wow Show. Have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's and New FC Eve. Can I? No? Okay.
Stop trying to push it into the ground. Look. All right. Look, you brought enough baggage to the show today not to try to pretend that was intentional earlier.
We will talk next week. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.